Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
Well, it's a Wednesday, but more importantly, it's the day after one heck of a night. Huh? We had hat tricks all over the place. Mikko Rantanen. Rantanen, a pure hat trick. And we got the hat trick of Colorado teams last night as the Avs, Nuggets, and CSU all get it done. Now, that's how you get it done, boys.
Yeah,
there you go.
That's how you get it done. You didn't get the overtime win that you wanted from the Avs, but you got the regulation win.
Yes, I was hoping.
You got your 2 points.
Yeah, because I was figuring, hey, let's get Vegas out of the playoffs, although Vegas may just do it on their own. They ended up losing anyway last night. So, anyway, but remember a little while ago when folks were grumbling about Mikko Rantanen?
Yeah.
We actually heard people who...
Oh, saying he needed to be traded?
Who claimed to be Avalanche fans saying that, yeah, he's been a disappointment. They need to trade him. Well, he's on a certified heater right now. He's in his last nine games. His last nine games has 8 goals, 13 assists for 21 points.
Wow. Wow. That is a heater.
That's
and a hat trick last night, right?
And he had a hat trick last night. That top line is just stupid. It's just men among boys.
They are good, aren't they?
Oh, every time they're on the ice. Like, you just, even if you didn't know the, even if they didn't have the numbers and names on their backs, you'd be like, oh, there's the top line.
Yeah.
And Makar and Taze are out. You could just tell. So, good job, Avs, as they finish off their best road trip of the season. 4-0 on the road trip. And now certified, I believe, they are the team to beat in the West. And I would think that everybody in the West understands that they're the team to beat in the West.
Is that all just because of the moves they made? Is that?
Yeah, because everybody around the NHL, everybody around the West knows that their core is the best in hockey. Mm-hmm. And now it looks like they've made some moves that have really strengthened that core. So what's left? Best team in the West right now.
Yeah, they are good.
And when it's all said and done, they will have the number one seed.
To go on a 4-game road trip, go 4-0, that's big. So, good for the Avs. They were great.
Nuggets blew a 18-point lead, fell asleep in the third quarter, ended up in a dogfight right to the end with Minnesota. Anthony Edwards had a wide-open three because KCP was guarding him, slipped and fell, and had a wide-open three to tie it. Clang. Stephen A. Smith. Better take him off your MVP list.
He still had 30. Had one nice dunk, follow-up dunk. Still had 30. He's still a front runner on Stephen A. Smith's list. I guarantee he's a front runner.
Do you get the whole idea of human nature and letting down and not being able to play 48 full minutes and that you're going to have these lulls, especially when you go up big? You understand that? Because
yeah.
I heard from Buddy last night, who's just like, God, they can't keep their focus, and that's coaching, and Malone lets up off the gas, and, why is Reggie Jackson out there as much as he is, and, you know, why is his team constantly blowing leads? And I try to tell him, like, you're trying to explain human nature. But do you get it? Even as a football guy, do you get it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there are those times. You know, here's the biggest part to me. When it's crunch time, even in their loss the other day, in crunch time, they battled back to a lead over Dallas. And, I mean, Jamal Murray misses a bunny for him. You know, and they knock one down on the other side. Hey, listen, man, with the crazy left-handed hook at the elbow. Even in their poor moments, even when they have those lapses of concentration or the human nature lapses, you would call it, you know what they do? When it becomes time and they got to go, and they can go.
They can go.
And
they can go.
Yeah, the human nature, especially the NBA, no Big Cat, no Gobert, you know, guys injured, guys out. And are you going to naturally let down your guard a little bit, especially when you build an 18-point lead? Yeah, you are. And then a couple guys get hot, knock down some threes, you know, and next thing you know, you're flip-flopping leads five or six times. But the bottom line is, yeah, that game doesn't frighten me. I know what I'm going to get when, I just know what I'm going to get when it's playoff basketball time. Like, this is especially, this is a hard time. There are, what, now they're 12-2 out of the break? I had them going 21-6. Remember when we did this, yep, and you said 20-7?
Yep.
And right now, they're sitting at 12-2.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, are they gonna be the number one seed? Yep.
Yep.
Are they gonna have some lulls because, dude, they're just trying to get to the postseason right now? Yep. And that's what Michael Malone is gonna have to manage. And then you'll see him or you'll hear him occasionally, you know, get pissy. It's just the way it's gonna be.
So the Nuggets go 3-1 on their road trip. Avalanche go 4-0 on theirs. Clang. There's another missed shot by Virginia.
Oh my God.
Wow, that was... First of all, hey, awesome. Rams, first tournament win since like 2013. Awesome. They played really well, really disciplined. They played Virginia's style of basketball and came away easy. But, boy, the big takeaway, and Virginia was just getting crushed on social media last night. And the committee that puts this whole thing together, how the heck did you put Virginia in there?
Yeah, they were bad.
As what, a 7, as a 10 seed?
By the way, I was watching, or I was listening to Zach and Phil in the afternoon. And, you know, Zach made a good point about Nico Medved. How much more time you got with him at CSU before somebody in a Power 5 comes and gets him?
Yeah, that's a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
Yep. So enjoy him while he's here.
Yeah. For one more game, or two more games, before he leaves.
I think at least two more games. I think they're going to beat Texas.
All right, two more games.
Two more games, at least. We're off, we're rolling. Lot to react to. Hit us up on the ramoslaw.com text line 303-713-1043 on any or all of the wins. And also, up next, while we're making bold proclamations, J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top five. There will be four quarterbacks taken in the top five or six. So is it Bo Nix or nobody for the Broncos? That's next.
Ever since we got Xfinity, we have Wi-Fi all over the house, even in my hiding spots.
Ha! Found ya.
How?
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Now through March 21st, get started with 200 megabit internet for $25 a month for 2 years with no annual contract and get Wi-Fi equipment included. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply to internet service and Wi-Fi equipment. Actual speeds vary.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Some quick reaction to what went down last night. All three teams getting wins. Good job. Az, Nuggets, Rams. See you. Your turn tonight. Let's go against Boise. Mark would be eternally grateful if you could beat the boys from Boise.
The Boise State Broncos.
Some bad blood there.
There is some bad blood. Bad blood.
Bad blood between Moscow and Boise.
That's right.
Man, you get those Idaho towns together. Let's see. On the ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Let's go, Rammies. That game was way too easy. Gives our boys some confidence against Texas. Time to make a run. Let's ride.
Ooh. I will say this about the Rammies. There's a certain Nugget-esque quality to the way they share the ball.
I like that. That's a very observant take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Very unselfish. They
ball
run.
Ball moves around.
They run actual plays, sets. They move the ball around. Guys are cutting, getting into position, feeding the low post, cuts, yeah. Everything. No, I agree. Well coached. You can tell they're well coached. Another one. This is from Eric of Columbus.
Oh.
I was in the arena last night for CSU. It did feel like a March Madness game for the first 10 minutes. Then Virginia stopped making shots and the feeling died. Yeah, it was open season on Virginia and a team that acted really almost surprised that they made the tournament. And right from the moment that they made the tournament, Selection Sunday, immediately there was complaints and griping from other bubble teams that got left out. And once this game was over,
oh yeah,
people were like, you telling me that Indiana State wouldn't have put up a better game and would have been more entertaining and would have been a more interesting story than boring Virginia? No, it's not just you.
Dude, Virginia's bad. That was bad. That was bad basketball.
So I believe it was, if you counted halftime, they went a full 50 minutes of real time without making a basket.
Yeah, well, you know it's bad when they put up the haven't made a bucket since 9:43 Eastern. You know, they had a countdown, a count up clock right? On how many. It's been 46 minutes since they actually made a basket in real time.
Terrible.
Which I always think, you know, in the NFL, you talk to a lot of coaches about, they call it the middle eight. So it's the last 4 minutes of the second half and the first 4 minutes of the first half. And so it's all this, you know, defer on the kickoff and try to have the last possession of the first half if it works out. And if you can score in the last possession of the first half and leave the other team no time, and then you get the first possession and you can put together a 6-7-8 minute scoring drive, then it becomes you know, one of those situations where you haven't had an offensive snap in, you know, 36 minutes of real time or 42 minutes of real time, whatever it is. And so it becomes a really important kind of nuance to the game, a really important kind of category in and of itself. Kyle Shanahan is and you know, coaches, they always make up numbers, but Kyle was like, man, that for us is like scoring with the last possession of the first half is like as effective as the turnover margin. It's like getting a turnover is how he equated it to. So there's some big things in there about, you know, going stagnant for a long period of time and how that affects you mentally, psychology, you know, the psychology of it and everything else.
Bouncing around. So J.J. McCarthy, we know that J.J. McCarthy visiting with the Vikings. Well, now he's apparently going to visit with Washington. Washington. Kicking the tires on J.J. McCarthy.
Okay.
And I can't help but think of the words of Jim Harbaugh, who said, once everybody gets a chance to know this guy and dig into him deep, don't be surprised if he's the first quarterback that comes off the board. Well, he's not going to be the first quarterback, but he might end up being the second quarterback. But here's where I'm getting at. He is going to go in the top five or six. There will be four quarterbacks taken in the top five or six. And it just does not seem like the Broncos have the draft capital to be able to move all the way up. So it's Bo Nix or nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That's
you're either taking Bo Nix, you're taking Bo Nix, or you're taking a good football player. I personally think that depending upon who's available at 12, like there's a couple players that are difference maker players, like Brock Bowers. If he was at 12, I think that's where he would go. He'd go to the Broncos at 12. But if like a big time difference maker isn't there in their mind, now I don't know if they can trade back, Mike, because simply you got to have a dance partner to do that. And you just can't trade back for the sake of trading back if you're not getting value, if somebody's giving you less value than what the trade back is worth. But again, I could see them just taking a football player and saying, hey, listen, we've got a lot of holes to fill in this rebuild. And, you know, the fourth or fifth best quarterback in our evaluation is that's not going to get it done for us. We're not just drafting a guy because, oh, we need a franchise quarterback. Like, why draft a guy that we don't think is a franchise quarterback if, in fact, they don't think that Bo Nix is? I don't know what they think about Bo Nix.
This one on the RamosLaw.com text line. The Broncos are not selecting Bo Nix. They're going to go after JJ. But what do you guys think about the kid from South Carolina? He plays the same way as Patrick Mahomes. Talk about Spencer Rattler.
Yeah, I don't know about the same way as him, but he was so from my evaluation, he was the guy that I thought operated at the line of scrimmage like J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy, one of the reasons that J.J., he's athletic and he can throw it, but one of the reasons that he is moving up draft boards, Mike, is because he's really the only one that operates a real legitimate-looking NFL style of offense. And that is the one less coaching thing that you have to get over. I know he can do this. I know he can spit out plays. I know he can change strengths. I know he can play out of multiple different personnel groupings and understand those personnel groupings. So it's one less thing that you have to really be concerned about.
Good stuff. Good text right off the bat here on the RamosLaw.com text line. Keep them coming. It is a busy, busy morning. We'll recap it all in the morning brew. We'll hear from Jared Bednar, Michael Malone, Nico Medved, and Tad Boyle. A lot going on. Morning brew next.
It's time for your morning brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
All we do is win, 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 win. That was the case last night. So let's just go through the wins. Let's enjoy them. CSU playing in the first four in Dayton against Virginia. Dominates Virginia and holds them to 22% shooting. Great defense, bad offense. Doesn't matter. Big win for Nico Medved's Rams team.
You know, they're one of the slowest, not the slowest playing team offensively in the country. But if you look at us, we're one of the top two in the country on defensive tempo, meaning we force teams to play late in the shot clock. So like I told our guys, that's nothing new for us. That's what we do every day. We're not afraid to guard for long periods of time in the half court. And so I think we felt comfortable in those situations defensively.
They look comfortable.
Yeah, they did.
There was a stretch there in the first half where it was just brick city both ways. It was like the score was stuck on 18-12 forever, it seemed. But the Rams just kept executing. They started to punish Virginia in the paint, and you saw what happened with Virginia. This was an offensively challenged Virginia team all season long. That I think the number was six losses this season by 20 or more points. So they had enough examples during the course of the season of games that got away because they just couldn't score. And you know that once it started to happen again last night in that environment, oh, they tightened up. Oh, did they tighten up?
Well, Nico's right about one thing, man. They guard the heck. They guard. Now, a great defense, yeah. Absolutely poor shooting, yeah. But I thought they did a great job, extended all the way out to the three-point line. Their guarding and their ability to play defense was awesome and, you know, led to some offensive points. But you're right, they just played bully ball inside. They physically dominated them both ends of the court. It was fun to watch. It was fun to see CSU play that way in that style.
Next on the Morning Brew, the Nuggets blew at one point an 18-point lead, lost the lead, and then had to hang on for dear life to beat Minnesota in Minnesota, playing without Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, beat a 115-112. Michael Malone will take the victory, but would like to see a little more killer instinct.
You got to play for 48 minutes, or you just can't go out there, even though they have guys out with injury, especially on the road. You know, you have to put teams away, and that's something that we really have to get better at. We're building leads, but now how do we sustain that lead and not just give it all right back?
But that's the NBA. How many times have you watched an NBA game where somebody has a big lead and somebody just reels them right back in? It's just the way the NBA operates.
Yep. It's always a game of runs.
Yeah.
Always. Nobody plays a locked in 48 minutes where you build an 18-point lead and go, we're not satisfied. Let's get it up to 30.
Right.
And we won't rest until we do. Well, I mean, it happens all the time. But the key is, do you make the plays in the fourth quarter? And this time it was Michael Porter Jr., who was huge in the fourth quarter, scoring 12 points, looking very confident on his jump shot, got in the lane a couple of times, nice cut for a dunk. So,
well, he has improved, hasn't he?
He's having this is the best stretch of basketball he's ever played in his career, bar none.
He's got so much confidence when he
since
squares
the All-Star
up.
Break.
Yeah, when he squares up to shoot a three, he's got so much confidence. By the way, what happened to the assist for Joker? That'll be there's just another scarlet letter on the Joker in his MVP candidacy, by the way. I think he only had two assists.
He didn't have assists
until the fourth quarter.
35 points, 16 rebounds, two assists. Jamal Murray was the playmaker. Jamal Murray had 11 assists. Next on the Morning Brew, the Avalanche make it 4-for-4 on a very successful road trip. Hard-fought game, good game against a Blues team that is playing for their playoff lives right now. So they came out with a playoff-type intensity, and it was a hard-fought game, but too much of the Avs' top line, Mikko Rantanen, a hat trick as the Avs come away with the hard-fought 4-3 win. Jared Bednar respecting the team's effort.
Guys played hard, stayed with it, resilient group, found a way to get the lead back and sort of fight back from behind a couple times. So all in all, great road trip. End of the road trip, sitting around for a couple days here can be a tough one for our group. We know that, but they found a way to get it done. So got to be happy with it.
Got to be happy with it. And the Avs are now winning 7 in a row, a season high, 7 straight wins for the Avs. And 4 straight road wins ties their best road winning streak of the season. Gotta go all the way back to October. So good stuff there. So good wins all the way around for the Rams, Nuggets, and Avs. Next on the Morning Brew, the CU Buffs will try to keep the momentum going as Tad Boyle's bunch will be taking on Boise State on the same court that CSU just won on.
They are a tough-minded, well-coached team. Their coach, Leon Rice, is a good friend of mine. He's been there 14 years. He got the job in Boise just when I got the job in Boulder. And we're in for a battle because they're tough-minded kids that play hard. They play the right way.
Tad Boyle on the drive yesterday with Zach and Phil.
I'm going to say they're from Boise, so they can't be that tough-minded.
He said also in that interview that, and he was candid about it, he said, we're the more talented team.
Mm-hmm.
We're more talented than they are, but they play together very well. And so that's going to be the challenge for us.
One thing I like to believe about Boise, whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. It's what I like to believe. They're a bunch of front runners. They're like the Raiders.
Really?
Yeah.
Front runners, you
front
say.
Runners. If you squelch the uprising, they'll fold like a cheap suit. Yeah, Boise State players, front runners. It's been my experience, Mike.
One other story to pass along, sad one to finish up on, but one of the more popular Avs players when they first came here, Chris Simon, passed away, and one of the really exciting Avs players, somebody who loved to fight, one of the real great enforcers in the game, was never shy about going out and fighting like that, and unfortunately passed away at the age of 52 and reportedly took his own life. So
horrible.
So bummer to
it
finish
is a,
up, but
it is a bummer.
As Joe Sakic put out a statement last night after he got word about it, Joe said, I want to read the quote here. Just had it. Shoot. Yeah, here's what Joe said. Quote, Chris was a great guy, a beloved teammate, and very important part of our first championship season. He was the first person to stand up for his teammates off the ice. He was an unbelievable guy and a caring father. He will be sorely missed. So, rest in peace to Chris Simon. Thoughts to his family and to the Avalanche family as well. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. A lot to react to. All the winning. Winning never gets old. Got a lot of it last night. Will the bus be able to make it a clean sweep? And another Broncos free agent changes his mind. What's going on here? That's next.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
So explain this one to me. You've been been out there as a free agent before.
Sure.
Looking to hook on with a team.
Mm-hmm.
How is it now that during this free agent period, not one but now two Broncos have agreed to terms with another team only to say, I changed my mind and come back to the bosom of the Broncos? Will Lutz did it with Jacksonville, and then yesterday Justin Strnad, the special teams ace for them, agreed originally to a deal with Carolina, but then said, I changed my mind and came back to the Broncos. So what's happening there?
Well, one, you went to Carolina, you realized it's Carolina. Right? I mean, that place. Dave Tepper probably told him, I don't think you bend your knees deep enough. So that's probably one thing. But it does not make sense because, you know, Sean Payton is a tyrant. And he's forcing people to do things they don't want to do. And he's mean, and he treated Russell wrong. And therefore, yeah, I saw some idiot on social media text me, go, you good luck ever getting anybody to sign there as a free agent. Nobody's going to want to come play for that guy. He tried to make Russell take a pay cut or waive his injury security or whatever. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that'll happen. Yeah, right. Goes to show you what people think about that story and the validity of that story.
I can't
garbage.
I can't help but think that, and it's open season on George Payton, so sorry, George, just going to have to wear it for a while. Yeah. But I can't help.
You've earned it, though.
You've earned it.
I mean, I love George. You've earned it. You're going to get it.
I can't help but feel like George was in charge of the negotiations. And he twice walked into Sean Payton's office and went, darn it. Couldn't get it done. We lost Lutz and we lost Strnad.
Mm-hmm.
He is so collaborative.
And Sean said, hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
And then Sean gets on the phone and says, you guys aren't going anywhere. Get back here.
What's
it
going to
take? Is that an unfair read on my part?
No. You know, Sean comes in and goes, hey, dudes, like, let's get on the phone. Let's chat this thing up. By the way, I really think the more that I just sit and watch the National Football League, there's no question in my mind we could run a team.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Listen.
Did you see what Cleveland did with Jerry Jeudy yesterday?
Yeah. 41 million guaranteed.
41 million guaranteed. The guy averages 2.5 touchdowns a year. And then he had some tweet. I heard this on the drive, too. Oh, okay. He's 972, and I missed six games. No, you transpose the years. The year you missed the six games, you didn't have 972. The 972, the 972 one or whatever, you had. I think you had 15 of the 16 games you played in.
Jerry Jeudy's best years. Okay, so the year that he had 972 yards receiving, close but no cigar for the 1,000-yard mark. Yeah, he played 15 of the 17 games.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then his last year he had 758 in 16 of the 17 games. His rookie season, 856 yards in all 16 games. So it's not like he missed a lot of time. The one season where he missed a significant amount of games, mm-hmm. he played 10 games in 2021, he only had 467 yards receiving. So, yeah, like a lot of things Jerry puts out there, got to kind of take it with a bit of a raised eyebrow.
I did a Cleveland radio show yesterday, and this is why. Like, they're like, do you think he'll kind of figure it out? No. Because, again, this just gives you the opportunity to say, well, it wasn't my fault in Denver. Didn't give me a good quarterback. Didn't give me, you know, the right opportunity. Didn't make me the number one. I don't know if you know this, but they've got Amari Cooper over there. But, you know, all the different excuses. I mean, that dude is just riddled with excuses. So that you can take responsibility for being traded and being a Denver first-round bust when somebody's going to reward you with $58 million? No, you're not.
Another one on the Ramos. Another one on the RamosLive.com text line. Is it just me or have we found our 2C finally? Let's see if Mike agrees and will say so. Yeah, Casey Middlestat had a beautiful goal yesterday. Took a pass in tight quarters. Nice pass from Sam Girard, by the way. But released the puck from, like, really way behind him. And it was, Rycroft was talking about it, about how it's such a hard shot for a goalie to read when you're releasing and bringing your stick that far back and then snapping it through. But, no, on paper, this guy does check every box and is the best on paper second-line center option that they've put out there since Naz Kadri left. No doubt. But while he looks the part on paper, now he's got to go out and deliver like Naz delivered.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, he delivered.
Win a Stanley Cup. No.
This road trip, he's delivered.
So far, so good. Right. No complaints.
Correct.
But we know what the impact of a second-line center makes for an Avalanche team that wins the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, because we've seen it. Yeah, we've seen it.
So we can make an apples-to-apples comparison. So there's no reason why Casey Middlestat can't give the Avs during a long playoff run what Naz gave them in terms of production on that second line. Now he's just got to go out and do it.
You know
there's no reason why he shouldn't, is if that's the answer you're looking for.
You know what I realized yesterday driving around? I had some errands to run. I was listening to the drive. Had to swing into the FedEx store and purchase a box for my wife. Because, you know, she's got to mail Easter treats to every kid that we know, apparently. Apparently that's her thing now.
Yes.
We're godparents to about 17 children. Lord have mercy. We have to get another job. But anyhow, so I'm in there, and it's like 10 minutes to 6. I'm standing in line waiting. You know me. I'm humming to myself. Don't know what I'm doing.
Having a great conversation with yourself.
Yeah, having a great conversation. Some guy just turns around and goes, Stink, don't you have work to do? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, we got the abs? The Nuggets. I go, yeah, the abs don't start for 10 minutes. Just get off my back.
Yeah. Wow, you got people monitoring.
Yeah, I got hall monitors out there. Hey, Karen, thanks. Yeah,
no, that would have been Todd.
Oh, that would have been Todd.
That was a Todd.
Hey, Todd.
You dealt with a Todd.
Todd, 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 Todd.
Far down territory coming up next.